You ready?
I'm ready, yeah. I'm always ready. I was born ready.
I doubt that, because you would have been, at some point you were pre-verbal and that would have been a shitty podcast.
No, I was born ready to podcast.
Explain.
There's no explaining the wonder, the awesomity, the pure, unadulterated magnificence. I was just born ready to podcast.
All right, then.
And welcome to episode 14 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm your host, Chuck Werner, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Dave Stern. Say, we are not men, Dave.
Are we not men, though?
We are not men, no. We are Devo.
I think that's also false.
Okay. Well, regardless, I'm trying to think as a spawncast.
It's a spawncast podstered by the Foundation Institute.
Yes. It is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. Now, plus, bonus, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/imtryingtothink. Double bonus, you can become a fan on Facebook. Just do a little searchy thing in the upper right-hand corner for I'm Trying to Think. Bam.
We're in all the social media.
You can become our kind of friend.
It's beautiful.
I don't want to say like a... You know, like our really friend, but
no, we're gonna keep you at an arms, like kind of arm's length.
Yeah. I mean, we're frankly a little frightened that you're listening and over again.
But we'll be cordial. We will be cordial.
We're not gonna insult you or anything. We're just saying it's a little odd.
Become our sort of Facebook half acquaintance.
Right. The opening song there was "Big Mess" by Devo. I love that song. That is my podcasting song, I think.
It's
my podcasting song. Yeah, it's got a great line. With my microphone, I do a super show.
Yeah, that's optimistic. We do.
I do it, yeah. With my microphone, I do a super show. I just don't know why anyone would listen to it. It's awesome. I just question its value for any other human being.
Fair enough.
Me, it makes me feel great. You know, it's a good Devo song.
Yeah.
It's from one of my favorite albums when I was like 15 or 16 years old, which was Devo's Greatest Hits.
Right.
And ironically, I also often listen to Devo's Greatest Misses, which has some really good songs.
Is that the one with all the weird covers?
I think it has a couple covers, but it has songs that just are like the deep, deep cuts of Devo, which Devo itself is kind of a deep cut kind of band. We're like, whip it, yeah, and Girl You Want, those are awesome. And maybe, you know, play Beautiful World in a song or in a commercial or something. And then you get really deep into it.
Yeah, then pretty much everything else is deep cuts.
Yeah, I mean, nobody knows anything beyond that. But Greatest Misses is actually a great album. I know that's weird to say. It's also an explicit album. It's got when I got it, parental warning on it.
Well, yeah, because Devo's cussing up a storm.
Parental advisory. Let's see. Like, the good ones, there's Pink Pussycat is a good song. It's got a different version of I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Penetration in the Centerfold, good song. It's got a different version of Jocko Homo, a song called Speed Racer that's very good. Go out and pick it up.
All right.
Devo's Greatest Misses. You won't be disappointed unless you're not into Devo doing really weird stuff, in which case you might be disappointed.
If you're not into Devo doing really weird stuff, then you probably still won't be disappointed because you won't really expect to like it.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. You just won't like it. I think that's the intro, which has gotten really long now. I've got this Facebook thing to announce. I've got a Twitter thing to announce.
Yeah, we should stop, either stop sprouting social networking sites. Crap, or go the other way and just have a 20-minute intro. Yeah,
no, not even a 20-minute intro. hour-long show of just how
of to just get, intro
how to be a fan of the show other places on the internet.
As long as we don't have to make a fucking MySpace page.
That's not going to happen.
Good.
Let's say, you know, never say never. If they completely redesign their site, maybe change owners, destroy all the sites that exist on it, make people follow, you know, decent color coordination conventions and things like that, then maybe.
Now, even then, just on general principle.
Wow, I'm done. You're a hardliner.
Yep.
I guess somebody has to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, do you want to get on to our first topic, or are you ready for a break? I'm ready for a break. That was hard work.
Okay, yeah.
That intro was long, man.
I'm shagged out, man.
It was exhausting.
I need to take five.
All right, let's take a nap.
All righty, we'll be right back. I think it's past our bedtime. Let's go to sleep now. Yeah. I think it's
past our bedtime. Let's go to sleep. And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think episode 14. Less spooky this week.
Substantially.
Substantially less spooky. But no less dangerous.
Oh, this week has been fraught with danger and excitement and loud people yelling.
Right. You and I, were within 3 miles of a pseudo-riot.
Yep.
Oh my god.
I know.
The freaking out.
Everyone was all going crazy.
Breaking windows.
Yep.
For those of you who don't know, the G20 summit visited Pittsburgh this week, and there were some things.
Yeah, and along with them, like, angry people also visited Pittsburgh.
Probably five angry people for every G20 person.
Yeah, I mean, assuming, are we including in angry people both the protesters who were angry and, like, the cops that they bust in from other cities?
Probably.
Because I bet those guys were pretty angry.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta be. Except they're probably getting, like, time and a half or something.
Oh, yeah, they might be, actually.
That would make me unangry.
Yeah, I would actually be pretty pleased with myself.
Or, like, double time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Man, now, where can I sign up to be a riot cop?
Now we sound like we're in
an out-of-town riot cop. That sounds like a good gig.
I would be a riot cop in a second. What do? You just beat your shield, walk forward, shoot tear gas, go home, sleep it off. And I mean that, you know, people are going to yell at you. They're going to throw bottles at you. They're going to say, this is what a police state looks like, or blah, blah, blah. But as much as I don't want to live in a police state, I have to admit most of my science fiction, my favorite science fiction involves a police state.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good setting. It's a fruitful setting.
Brazil involves a police state, you know?
Yeah.
Most of Warhammer 40K would be considered a police state.
Is Blade Runner a police state?
That's
corporation yeah. run.
But, you know, police states are fun. 1984 is a police state.
Yeah. Actually, one. You know, none of those police states are fun. I think they're just... Yeah, none of those are fun now that you mention it.
Depends on your perspective. It's like, you know, that some people think that they could make out in a... oligarchy or
in a futuristic police state.
Yeah, a dystopia. There are some people who just think, you know, sign me up for a dystopia. I think most of them are libertarians, but regardless.
I don't know. Aren't they generally sort of... They just want police free actors. They don't want a police state. They're very anti-state. Anti-statist.
There's always a state. It's just who is it? You know, somebody's in control. Just who is it? I like it when it's nominally the people. I like nominally the people are in control. You know what I mean?
Right.
I understand the lobbyists and, you know, special interests and corporations.
Yeah.
And
but I think we're kind of swinging away from the main point, which was a lot of protesters in town this week. A lot of riot cops in town this
fine.
Week.
Oh, that's fine. I was going off on something. I had a tangent.
Did you have a fruitful tangent?
It wasn't going. I can't promise that it was going anywhere interesting. But it was there. And now it's aborted.
Yeah, I cut off its knees. Yeah. Cut off its knees.
Pro-choice, Dave. That's what you are. You're pro-topic choice. Meanwhile, you're a topic killer. Or a tangent killer, as it were. So there were a lot of protests. Did you said that you want to talk about protests. I don't know what you want to talk about. Do you want to talk about protesters? Do you want to talk about protestees? Do you want to talk about testes?
Yes, yes, and yes.
All right. Well, let's start with testes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, done with that.
Okay.
Balls.
Balls.
Ho!
Right on.
Balls. Okay, anyhow, so, you know, this has been a very sort of protest-oriented month in this country, you know? You had your, you know, 9/12-y...
Actually, I want to say something about balls real quick.
Yeah, go for it. We can wrap back around to balls.
It's not a...
Oh, that doesn't even make sense as a ball joke.
You know, I'm a big World of Warcraft fan. You're a World of Warcraft player. Don't need to be a World of Warcraft devotee to get the fun out of this. It's very simple. I described a fight in World of Warcraft with this phrase. Do not touch any balls that are not of your color. So I had sort of an anti-interracial...
That's racist. Yeah that's racist.
That was fun, though, to be racist for one moment. One fleeting moment in time.
I mean, that's ball racism, though.
Ball racism doesn't count. You know, I mean, nobody was put into ball slavery.
I do think people should be able to touch a rainbow connection of balls, should they so choose.
Yeah, though. The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
And my balls.
And my balls. Anyways, G20 that was protests. Mature.
Protesters. Awesome. So basically, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's been kind of a month. You know, you had that whole, those 9/12 shenanigans in Washington. You got the G20 shenanigans here, which, you know, I think... In terms of window, like, stuff that got destroyed, like, apparently the building that has my branch bank in it got some windows busted up.
All right.
Which, you know, is kind of annoying because, you know, I'm going to have to go there next week to deposit, you know, my paycheck.
And they might have a boarded up window. So that's annoying to you?
It's aesthetically annoying.
All right, then.
But, you know, at least I'll tip my hat and it's like, okay, that's reasonable. That's if you're going to throw a brick at a window or something, a bank. Okay.
Let me ask you an aesthetics.
They got a diner.
They got a pancake house.
They got the basically. Irish Design Center on Craig Street.
What?
They're striking a blow against $100 imported sweaters, is my theory.
Our favorite gaming store was not touched, though, right? I saw some people were being rushed down the street, Craig Street, where our favorite gaming store lives. Phantom of the Attic, free plug.
Nah, I think Phantom's okay.
Okay, that's all that's important to me.
I know the Squirrel Hill GameStop was boarded up tight.
Yeah, but I heard a lot of gaming stores were boarded up.
Yeah, probably because video games are small and cheap. The other thing, small and expensive.
I found it interesting, the Carnegie Museum, which is in Oakland where a lot of the action was.
Right.
They had boarded up some windows and stuff, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they have statues outside, I think. They have Socrates or Plato, one or the other. Galileo, Descartes, I think.
I think you're saying they're all philosophers. I think at least a couple of them are composers.
Newton. Well, that's outside the music building.
Regardless,
you can include the music building too, I think. But I think Newton might have been one of them. Regardless, dudes reclining. They have statues of
famous thinkers, learned gentlemen with beards.
Reclining.
Yeah. Sexy reclining. It's like it's a Descartes boudoir photo statue.
Hello, ladies. You want to know the Cartesian coordinates of my balls? Anyways, that's a Descartes pickup line. They covered them with tarps.
Well, yeah.
But surely even a rowdy, you know, group of rioters would know, hey, those are just tarps. There's something under there that they don't want us to ruin.
Well, I think the thing is that if you don't see it, it won't make you mad. Like, the thing. If you're a protester, you know, and you're a materialist, you're just walking down the street, you're just like, Plato and Descartes.
Yeah.
Dualism!
And
bam, you take a brick.
Rage.
You know? Just it's a problem.
Unhinged rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see your point there.
So you cover it, so you know, for all you know, maybe those are empiricists. You don't want to throw... You don't want to take a brick to John Locke.
So here's the thing, though.
Do you?
I'm rewinding, but here's the thing.
Okay.
Email Joe. I'm going to get an email. That's all right. Rewinding a bit.
Rewinding back to balls?
No, the pancake house that was hit by protesters. They broke a window or two, right?
Yeah.
It's called Pamela's Delicious,
yeah,
Delicious
locally
Breakfast.
Owned.
Yes, delicious local breakfast place. But did you know that during a previous visit to Pittsburgh, Michelle and Barack Obama became enamored with the pancakes at Pamela's? And in fact, had Pamela's employees sent to the White House for a pancake breakfast of Pamela's pancakes.
I knew the first part. I did not know the second part.
Thus, the Pancake House is a symbol of imperialism.
Okay, yes, complicit in the government pancake-eel complex.
Yeah, they might as well be the Oscar Schindler of the Obama administration.
Pancakes.
Yeah, I mean, they're making pancakes, sure, but at the same time, they're still supporters of the party, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, obviously, a cog in the great machine of imperialism, the Pancake House.
Yeah. Oh, man, do you have an explanation that good for the Irish Design Center, or is it just sweaters? Is it just the sweaters?
I think they just wanted Irish stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, faith in Begorra. Or maybe they thought there was a leprechaun in there.
I don't know.
Is that racist? I don't care.
A little bit, but that's okay.
No interracial ball touching. That's all I'm saying. If they're not your color, don't touch the balls. Again, this is World of Warcraft I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Rampant. Rampant. Anyways. Oh, we moved from topic to topic there. That was a reference way back. That was a way back.
That's a callback. That's a callback.
Is what that is.
Rampant sexism.
Rampant sexism. Is there anything? Well, what do you want to say about hitting a Pamela's? You had a problem with the Pamela's and the Irish Design Center hits.
Well, one, that's just, you know, obviously that's sort of mistargeted rage. Clearly, because I think that happened in Oakland. My general understanding of things is, and you can fill in any blanks if I've missed some news, but was that the real sort of hardcore actual protester clashes were up closer to downtown in Lawrenceville, where they were trying to get, like, from Lawrenceville to downtown via the Strip, and when the actual G20 stuff was happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an unpermitted protest, and, you know, riot cops were trying to block them off from getting downtown.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like the real kind of A1 protester action.
Yeah, there
and
was...
And then in Oakland, there was a lot of stuff happening.
Let me explain what happened in Oakland.
Which mostly seemed not unlike what happens in Oakland a lot. Like...
Let me explain what happened.
Kids in Oakland like excuses to smash things.
Yes. Oakland is the location of the University of Pittsburgh campus. It's, you know, surrounds Oakland. So the majority of the people in Oakland are students. So here's my theory. There were some students who maybe wanted to protest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, credit to college students. You know, plenty of them are politically active and reasonable.
There are some students, probably more than the ones who wanted to protest, who just wanted to start some shit or be in some shit.
Yeah, those are the people who, like, set couches on fire when the Steelers win the Super Bowl.
Yes. Then there is the vast plurality of students who wanted to watch the students who wanted to protest and who wanted to watch the students who wanted to start shit or be in shit.
Yeah, yeah, just some straight-up gawking.
So what this actually creates in the end, though, is just a throng of thousands of 18- to 20-year-old kids standing in the streets of Oakland. I've seen footage from this, and basically it's just riot cops are there. There's a bunch of kids. Which ones are the ones who want to watch? Which ones are the ones who want to start shit? Oh, no. So they take the tactic. Now, I'm not saying I agree with this tactic, but the riot police decide to take the tactic of just tear gas them all.
That's, you know, I'm willing to pass judgment and say that's a mistake.
That probably was. Where they just drop tear gas, you know, to and fro. There are lots of open balconies, no doubt lots of open windows in residential, you know, dorms.
And it was warmish. You know? Yeah, it was warmish.
It was, yeah. So, well, that's the thing. It wasn't so hot that they would be, you know, trying to make some air conditioning work or something. It was a nice night.
Yeah,
the
cracked
night
windows,
the kind
see
of night
breeze.
You keep your windows open on. And basically, they did tear gas some dorms.
That seems like that's bad policy.
If I were a student at the University of Pittsburgh, I would be angry. But as I am not, it's very funny to me.
It's funny, but it's not funny, ha ha. It's funny Actually, it is funny, ha-ha, but in the way where it's like, I'm going to go ha-ha at this thing instead of just shaking my head and going, oh, that's sad.
Well, you know, life is absurd. Because
that's the reaction I take to things like this.
Yeah, but why be saddened by the absurd? If you tend to be saddened by the absurd, you will tend to be sad for the rest of your life. Because shit is absurd. But if you're entertained by the absurd, life becomes a lot happier.
Oh, man. Sounds like someone has been thumbing through some Camus.
I don't have to thumb through Camus, baby. I am the stranger killing an Arab. That's me, right there. My mom died today. Or was it yesterday? I don't remember.
Was it because he tried to touch your balls?
No, I don't think so. That's, okay, never mind. You know The Cure have a song, Killing an Arab?
That's what I was quoting. Is that a stranger?
Yeah, it's a stranger reference. Oh. That's what the song's about. I mean, the end of the song is Robert Smith saying, I am Merso, so.
Yeah, that is a subtle clue now that I think about it.
Subtle clue. Yeah. Oh, man, we're off in the literary world and, strange Cure songs, so we've lost everybody. Yeah, is there anything you'd like to say about the protest thing before we move on? Yeah, I guess I'm going to dial it back.
Here's a final wrap-up question I have for you about protesting. So again, we had the G20 stuff that we experienced here, they smashed some bank windows, makes sense, smashed some stupid windows.
Like the subway, why?
Kids got tear gas.
They just want you to eat fresh.
I don't know. Kids got tear gas, people yelled. I turned on my old college radio station, they were interviewing a homeless man.
All right.
Who, in fairness, he was pretty up on Kantianism.
Like, well, great.
No, he seemed to know what he was talking about,
All right.
I'd vote for him, It was reasonable. Like, I'm not sure.
You'd vote for him, and you'd probably donate if you had an address to send the money to.
Yeah. I'd say his grasp on Adam Smith was not as strong, but he knew what he was talking about when he talked about Kantianism.
Well, that's a start.
But anyhow, as I was saying before, I got even sidetracked in the middle of my own thought, as we do in our show, lost in our thinking. We're trying to think, but usually we go somewhere else.
And I'd like to just take a moment, encourage people, go read some Adam Smith stuff. The Foundations of Capitalism, very interesting. What we do today, very different.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. We're not so much a wealth of nations, no.
No.
But anyhow, so my question, like I said, G20... The 9/12, all the Tea Party people doing their thing.
They're doing their thing.
Does protest do anything? What is the point of protest? Did protest once work, but does it no longer work now? Did protest never work, and it was just a coincidence that the 60s had protests and stuff changed? Like, what's up with protesting?
Protesting definitely, I think, works some of the time, and it really depends. When you have the stuff in the 60s, was different. It was about skin color, gender, things that were pretty easy to see.
Yeah, and sort of articulate simply.
This protest stuff is insane. And the reason the reason it doesn't work is because there's no cohesive idea between the protesters. It's just people who are angry for one reason or another.
Like, that's true.
The people in the 9/12 people are just angry about something. Then they come together and they don't agree about the solutions. Some of them are like, fundamentalist Christian people, pro-life people, pro-gun people,
anti-tax people,
states' rights people, anti-tax people. You've got this gamut of people, and they don't really agree.
Yeah, and
on
then
the
G20 protests
is
equally have the same kind of thing. It's just sort of like
equally desperate.
Environmentalists,
right?
Just anarchists,
right? And like anti
anarchists,
world trade people,
communists,
right? Communists. And those people
labor
don't necessarily
unions,
get along
it's
either.
It's basically they all are against something, but not necessarily for related things.
Right?
So it's just sort of a. It's not a single issue. It's just a mess of confusion.
That's the weird thing for me, too, sometimes. I realize that, I'm a leftist. I don't associate those people with leftism. I just think they're crazy.
In fairness, a lot of them are leftists. Then the anarchist thing, That's not really. Just a different thing.
See, but I don't think that
line that's like left and right, anarchist is.
Leftism, and I mean, I guess I have some backup in this concept, but it's really about caring for people and places, and you know, that is as easily accomplished with world trade as it is not. You just have to do it right. You know, you can have a world trade organization, you can have large rich countries who do the right thing, as far as you know, politically. Political left is concerned, but that we have people who just want to destroy everything that exists in society now. I don't find that leftist. It's just ridiculous. And I realize that when I disagree with people who are on the right, that I'm disagreeing with the crazies. And there might be a whole bunch of people out there who are moderate or right, you know, who are further right than me, at least, who don't even understand why we would consider these crazy people to be on the right. So, you know, sympathy. It's all about understanding, Dave. This is my hippie moment for the week here. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It's just about peace, love, and understanding.
But that's not why the 60s protests worked. They worked because they were focused on single, right. observable issues in which the right. actual protesters were largely in agreement.
Right. And when you have a protest of ideas, it's very difficult because it's similar to Christianity, which is an idea that no two people agree on the exact meaning of. You know, we have while people had differing opinions on what equal rights means, it's a much easier thing to grasp when people are being oppressed to get to, you know, some equal rights, some level of equal rights. Right. It's a much harder thing to go from stuff is okay, but we'd like to make it slightly better.
Yeah, that's less easy to rally right. the troops around. And it's the same thing with the
healthcare thing. It's really easy to feel negative if somebody says, well, health, you know, public health care means, you know, your tax money will be going to other people who can't afford health care. Sometimes that doesn't sound like a good deal. Because people generally have the opinion that everyone's doing all right. But people who have gone through a bankruptcy or something due to a health problem have a very different perspective on things. And so if you don't have a connection to the actual problem, it's really hard to express to you. It's hard to make you feel anything for it. But you could easily see what Black Americans were going through in the 60s. You know, it was much easier to kind of look at the real world consequences of that when there were still like lynchings going on, when, you know, you have the Mississippi burning stuff. You know, it's just there was really horrible stuff going on and it was easy to see. So it's easier to convince people. And it's not like people all of a sudden got convinced in the equals right. That is still not over. That battle is still not over.
And it's still not completely right. over now.
So, I mean, the war of ideas is just a harder one to fight because people don't really care unless it touches them personally. But it's the same as why do you show, you know, why do starving kids in Africa, you know, get a lot of support from U.S. Citizens.
That's mostly, like, I credit Sally Struthers.
Right, it's just show starving kids on TV. You know, bam, it's easy. But it's harder to, I mean, it's weird to try, it would be weird to try and do that for starving kids in America, even though there are starving kids in America.
Yeah, you'd think that would be
because like, people would be like, no.
Easier trip for Sally Struthers, too.
Right, yeah.
Like, she wouldn't even have to fly across an ocean.
I don't know. Maybe she just lives over there now. But anyways, that was a long, serious note, so that's really boring. And oh, no one geez. Cares anymore. We just ruined everything.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any listeners again.
Oh, well.
That's all right. Maybe Facebook.
It makes the show better, leaner and meaner.
Maybe Facebook will get us fans just because people like the name.
Eh.
Even if they don't
That's
listen,
optimistic.
Even if they don't listen, I'll feel better that they're fans.
People do like clicking on shit.
They do. They love Facebook. If we had a little game that, if we called it Mafia, I'm trying to think, people would be all over it.
Yeah, it's one thing people hate doing with their time. It's anything productive.
That's right. Speaking of which, We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. The Foundation Institute is pleased to announce that the I'm Trying to Think podcast is now available in 3 additional secret languages. The Foundation Institute can be found on the web at foundation-institute.org. The Foundation Institute, planning for the future and tomorrow. And welcome back to episode 14 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Warner, and with me again is Dave Stern.
You sound disappointed. Exasperated, again. Perhaps.
Again. You know, it would be nice if we had a fill-in maybe
just once. Just want to change it up.
Just change it up. Like Kurt Russell could come in.
Right, and talk about, what, like Big Trouble in Little China, mostly?
Or Escape from New York. I mean, he was in that Sky High movie.
That was pretty good.
It's not bad for, like, a teen movie, you know?
Yeah.
The thing about it is that's, like, really key is that it has a great soundtrack. It's, like, all 80 songs covered by bands. The interesting thing there is that it has a Devo song. And Devo keeps coming up. I mean, Devo is awesome. But
yeah, they're kind of a leitmotif of this episode.
Leitmotif. So it has a Devo song in it. Covered by They Might Be Giants.
Oh.
Which you think would be like the collision of two awesome geek colossuses in my brain to create like the best song ever.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's bad. It's not bad by any stretch of the imagination.
It's just not mind-blowingly good like you want it to be.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
Well, actually, the thing I think that I got out of it was that I would rather have Devo covering They Might Be Giants. Than vice versa.
And that's kind of the danger of the thing when two things you love collide, you know? It might just not be as good.
It wasn't bad. It was, there was nothing wrong.
But it might not be mind blowing.
But it was not mind blowing. And I need everything in my life to be mind blowing. Mm-hmm. I also forget which Devo song it was, so whatever. But yeah, so Sky High, if you see it on TV, watch it and listen to the background music. And only kind of watch it. I mean, it's all right, it's not terrible, but. It's got Bruce Campbell in it.
It's an adequate film. And Kevin MacDonald from Kids in the Hall. And Dave Foley.
Also from Kids in the Hall. Also from Kids in the Hall. It's got a regular old Kids in the Hall
thing. Two-fourths.
Yes. It also has what's his name? The voice of SpongeBob. Kinney, I think. Tom Kinney, yeah.
Also Kids in the Hall, Mr. Show. This is a sketch comedy of the 90s.
Yeah. And his wife is in it.
Thing.
Yeah. She is... mostly unknown. She does voice work.
But. No, Jill Talley. She was also on Mr. Show, actually. So,
That's what I get for not really liking Mr. Show that much.
Yeah.
I liked a couple of skits of it, though. I mean, it's a problem. I love Bob Odenkirk. I love David Cross. Mr. Show is not
that. I still think it just means you haven't seen enough of it, or you haven't seen the right stuff.
You must be strapped down in a Clockwork Orange chair and view it over and over again. Then you will have seen enough.
Yeah. That's my general opinion on it, pretty much.
Well, yeah. So, you know, maybe Kurt Russell. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Or Belle Biv DeVoe. All of them.
Just, I don't know.
I just want them to come
Excuse
in and do
me.
New Jack Swing.
Excuse me. A little bit of New Jack Swing pedantry here. You were just singing Boys to Men.
I was singing Boys to Men.
My friend.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure Biv... I'm pretty sure Biv is dead.
Ooh. That's going to ruin the rest of my day. I got no Biv.
to salvage your Saturday, because I'm not that mean, yeah. I will say I made that up.
All right.
Biv is probably not dead.
Woo! Weight off my shoulders.
Oh.
People ask me a lot what the show is about. I'm the king of segues. They ask me a lot what the show is about. And I tell them.
And it's mostly Biv. It's about Biv.
It's about Biv. It's about expertise. We apply our expertise to things. We're experts. Earlier we applied them to sort of a political realm.
You went a little heavy. We talked about protests. Talked about, you know, chaos engulfing the city. Students being tear gassed. The 60s.
Oh my God.
I have a dream. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. 4 dead in Ohio, Chuck. 4 dead in Ohio.
You're absolutely right. Also, Sweet Home Alabama. Anyways, we put the X in expert. We're like the X-Men of experts. We're like your ex-wife is an expert. Except,
yeah, I think...
Okay, maybe I went
sorts of... Honestly, I think you lost it from we put the X in expert, because that's just a bad place to start. You picked it up back a little with the X-Men, because it's nerdy and I like that kind of thing.
Wolverine! Rawr! Berserker then you went off regenerate the rail. Adamantium claws of experts. At any rate, we need to apply... We're going to apply our expertise all over the place. I mean, that's what we do in the show. This topic... We cover sports every once in a while. This is a sports topic. I'm going to read a headline, and then we're going to talk about it. Headline from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We live in Pittsburgh. You're from Boston originally, but I am from Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh area, that is.
Metro Pittsburgh.
Metro Pittsburgh area. Actually, like, further out, but, you know.
Pittsburgh. Whatever. Just stick with Metro Pittsburgh. Right.
The funny thing
now,
about
that reminds
Pittsburgh
me, actually, when I was a kid.
When you were a kid.
For some reason, I think before I learned about the concept of, like, just say you're from Boston.
Yes.
Or, you know, the concept of Metro Boston.
Right.
What I did, that was like, apparently I was a real fucking little pedant kid.
I can believe it.
So what basically I did that just sort of annoyed the balls off of people was people would ask me where I was from. And basically, like, I would, like, little kid Dave would say, like, Brookline is a small town that's surrounded on three sides by Boston. Like,
is it surrounded on three
sides
by Boston?
Yeah, it's basically, it's practically
it's a peninsula
Boston.
Into yeah. Boston.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, good for you. Mm-hmm. So we live in Pittsburgh, though, and as
hey,
such...
Actually, I live in Metro Pittsburgh. I'm in Edgewood, technically. Well, is Edgewood part of the city? I know it's a different borough. How's that work?
I
don't know how they, I don't know how this Allegheny County... thing
I think
works.
Regent Square is Pittsburgh, and Edgewood is not Pittsburgh.
Okay, in that case, I live in not Pittsburgh, because I'm across that border.
Right on. So...
okay, so you live in Pittsburgh, buddy. You live in Pittsburgh, buddy.
We live in
Pittsburgh. I live in Metro Pittsburgh.
And here's the headline from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Past, present, future Pirates lament streak. Now, that refers, of course, to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are now in their 17th consecutive losing season. It is a record in professional sports. Unheard of. Except, perhaps, in the Washington Generals, who you will know as the team that gets to play the Harlem Globetrotters.
I think they won a game
I would
once.
Have to think they've won
I'm
more games.
I'm not sure if it's in the last 17 years.
The last 17 years in the Pirates. The last 5 years in Pittsburgh, we've had two Lombardi trophies. That's the Super Bowl for football. And I'm not buying your Sweet George Brown.
Yeah,
I'm not buying it.
It's low quality. It's low quality.
I'll buy it at a dollar store.
Yeah.
But regardless.
It's Family Dollar Sweet George Brown.
We've had one Stanley Cup in the city. That's for hockey. And we've had 17 years of a losing Pirates baseball franchise. How does that even work, Dave? You're the expert on baseball. What happened there? How does that go?
Well, there's kind of a couple different issues that you can trace it around to. I guess historically, the place you start is the halcyon days of autumn 1992, in which the Pirates were riding high.
Yes.
They were in the National League Championship Series.
That is correct.
A thrilling seven-game set in which they nobly but eventually did lose to the Braves.
Right. I was 14 years old. I already knew I did not like baseball. I vaguely remember this, though.
But, you know, the town was excited. It was into it. You know, it's a successful team. Because the thing about Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh is a sports town. Like,
it is.
You know, just, I mean, obviously, you know, Steelers are, you know, a number one with
no,
the bullet.
No doubt.
But if a sports team in this town is good, people will get on board.
Yes.
With that team.
I agree.
And, you know, that's where people were with the Pirates. Then they had a fateful decision about signing outfielders. You know, they had
Do
two
tell.
Outfielders going into free agency.
Uh-oh.
One of those outfielders you may have heard of.
Go ahead.
His name was Barry Lamar Bonds.
I remember him. Yes, he used to be a Pirate.
He was a very skinny, swift fellow.
A skinny, swift fellow, Dave?
Yes.
Are we talking about the same Barry Bonds?
Yes, this is before he injected himself with a lot of steroids and became basically a powerful, monstrous man.
He was like a minotaur, is what he is now. He is a bull man.
It's pretty amazing. But at that point,
it's the cow hormones.
But back in these days, he could hit 40 home runs, steal 40 home bases.
All right.
Like, steal 40 bases, you know. Play great gold glove defense, you know.
Okay.
Like, even before he was sticking all the things in his bum, he was one of the best players of all time.
It's the turning point in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, yeah. It's when they learn something about themselves.
He was a great player. He
Yeah.
And there was another BB, Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah.
Who was a pseudo-contemporary.
He was a legitimate contemporary. Yeah. But anyhow. And then Pittsburgh had another outfielder by the name of Andy Van Slyke.
Andy Van Slyke. Great name to say.
Yeah, great name. It's fun to say.
His daughter played baseball with my cousins.
He was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
They had these two players approaching free agency at the same time.
Right.
They committed really big money to one of them. It was probably the wrong choice.
It was probably the wrong choice.
The Andy Van Slyke's career kind of took a nosedive. The Pirates kind of went with him.
Barry Bonds' career kind of took a butt dive.
Eventually.
As it were.
No, it took a butt ascension. Man, his career, a butt skyrocket. He
it's
shot
like
things
he
in
put
his butt.
A rocket in his butt.
Yeah. And that
shot
kind of
him into the sky.
Yeah. So basically that happened. So that kind of starts the streak of futility.
All right.
Then what keeps it going is...
Because something has to keep it going for 17 years.
Yeah. It's basically a team in baseball can, to a certain extent... I mean, being stupid will eventually kill any baseball team, like in their management.
All right.
But to a certain extent, you can allay stupidness by being rich.
That's, yeah. Then I hear that about a lot of people.
Yeah. Then a cheap team, by contrast, can, you know, be competitive by planning things, you know, planning the cycles, making good trades, essentially being smart. For about a decade and a half, the Pirates have been cheap and stupid.
All right.
Was essentially their problem.
Well, I still have questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, who's stupid? The owners?
Yes.
Okay. Are they making money?
Yes.
So they don't really care that they're stupid.
No, not necessarily. I mean, that's the weird thing about owning a sports team that always confused me. It's like, on one hand, it's a vanity project for some rich people where it's just like, you know, they just want it to win, you know?
Right.
You know, it's their toy.
Jerry Jones!
Yeah. I mean, he just built, you know, the giant Masturbatorium temple with the punting HD screen that's going to get hit by punts. So, yeah, you know, some owners, you know, you're Jerry Jones, you're Mark Cuban, you're George Steinbrenner, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Then for some of them, it's another way to squeeze out some money, you know. Like you've got, you know, Mr. Walmart who owns the Kansas City Royals. You know, you've got teams where just, you know, it's something else to, you know, squeeze some more money out of.
Right.
So the Pittsburgh owners have probably been leaning that way for at least part of this time. I don't know. I think the franchise may or may not have changed hands in this time.
I think it did.
And then some of it may just be GMs have been various different types of stupid.
But one of them was always, you know, rumored to be very intelligent. Or at least a manager. You know. What was his name? This is how out of touch I am with Pirates. La something... No, I don't know. Sure, he still coaches.
Now, there are two major
he's
baseball...
He's got a mustache.
...La Someones.
Neither
of them... La Sorda's a lifetime Dodger.
No, yes.
La Russa's a lifetime Cardinal.
No. Well, what's his name?
LaLanne?
No.
Is it Jack LaLanne?
No, it wasn't Jack LaLanne. He had a mustache.
Oh, you're thinking Jim Leland.
Yeah, Leland.
He's a good manager. But there's only some... Basically, manager doesn't get to pick the groceries. And there's only so much you can do when you're just like, here's a card of rotten fruit. Make me a salad.
Is that a baseball insider term? Manager doesn't get to pick the groceries?
Yes.
Awesome. I like to learn things. So
also, you use that in football sometimes. You talk about, you know, a coach who's not, who doesn't also choose draft of players and such. You know,
right.
You know, depending on the coach GM relationship, you know, maybe the coach doesn't get to pick the groceries.
The
so yeah, even when Leland was here after the World Series team, it was basically like, here, take this shitty fruit and make a salad.
Here's a fun number. Just before I ask my next question, in the time since the Pirates last played a postseason game.
1992.
The Steelers, Penguins, and Pitt football and basketball teams, the other major sports teams in town, have combined to play 297 postseason games.
That is pretty dire.
Yeah. That's frighteningly huge. Because there aren't even that many postseason football games to play.
No, no.
There's only one in college.
Yeah.
At any rate, the question I have is, how do you get people to even join the team after 16 consecutive losing seasons? Let's just go from the people who joined this year. Not even the people who joined after 10 consecutive losing seasons.
Well, there's a couple ways that that goes. One is you pay them more money than other people will pay them.
All right.
Because people like money.
But doesn't that lower the profitability?
Yes, but sometimes you have to do it if you need, like, a relief pitch.
Is there a rule where you can't just hire a homeless guy to go out and fumble pitches? Because at this point, why aren't the owners of the Pirates pursuing that as an option? You pay the team a total of perhaps $2,000.
You see, that doesn't work because I think there's a salary minimum because those homeless guys, once you're signing them, they're in the players' union.
The players' union.
You know, it's no as scabs. Usual, unions.
No scabby baseball?
Maybe, sometimes. I mean, but they're on the road for like 80-something games a year, so they get into, you know, weird escapades. So there are probably some scabby baseball players.
At any rate.
But that's a different story.
So... yeah, I just don't. I don't know how you attract a player, and I know they attract players
of
quality.
And some of it is, you know, when you draft them, because they're forced. You know, they're forced to play for you, or if you trade for them in the minor leagues, they don't have a choice.
All right.
You know, it's the system of,
so,
you know, free agency.
You've basically enslaved them.
So basically, it's slave player, slaves and mercenaries is basically how you're doing it.
So,
although I will say, in a macro sense, when we're looking at it at that macro sense, how are all sports teams constructed? Slaves and mercenaries by the standards we've just set.
By the standards we've just set.
Yes.
All right, but what does distinguish the Pirates players from other players of baseball? I mean, certainly the most average of teams over 17 years could find a way to win 50% of their games.
Yeah, just by luck. I mean, the rest have.
Just by pure luck.
The rest all have.
How do the Pirates overcome pure random chance...
to not do it?
To not do it.
Honestly, I don't know. That's just... I mean, some of it, you know, to a point, you can say, you know, just bad judgment, incompetence, you know, poor playing, poor managing. But at a certain point, it's just wow.
You see,
it goes beyond actual decisions.
That's what I mean.
Like, certain points, there are just oddities. Like, here's something that actually strikes me while we're talking about oddities.
Go ahead.
Is, you know, back in 2004 when the Boston Red Sox broke through, you know, first championship in 86 years, blah, 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 it was a big deal.
Right.
Two-fifths of that rotation was not only people who had been cut from the Pittsburgh Pirates organization at one time or another.
Yes.
Two-fifths of their rotation, they were not people who had been cut from the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team. They were people who had been cut from the Pittsburgh Pirates AAA baseball team. Two-fifths of a starting championship rotation.
Were Pirates.
Were cut from a... No! Were cut from the team below the Pirates.
Oh.
They were cut from AAA.
Right, yes. That's disgusting.
Isn't that just weird?
It's astounding.
A lapse in some sort of lapse in judgment.
From a statistical perspective, as a person who's, you know, steeped in statistics, loves statistics, big fan of statistics, I have to think,
man,
they're
honestly,
trying
I'm surprised
to fail.
You can't get a little more into baseball then. I mean, not with even without having to watch it, It is the statistic nerd's dream sport.
I know, but it's
all
hard.
All the things they can do with those numbers are maddening.
That's the problem, is it is less a statistic nerd sport and more an interpretive nerd sport, because they just try to find a formula that will tell you what is going to happen in a game, and it just doesn't really work. But it's I like football and I love football statistics, but I don't actually expect them to do anything.
Well, because here's the difference between
chance should have gotten them a winning season. This forces me to conclude that it is statistically likely that the Pirates are attempting to lose 17 seasons
in a row. But even if they were, statistically they should have messed up.
That's the maddening part.
Either an astounding run of failure or an astounding run of succeeding at failing.
And either way, something is wrong in the city of Pittsburgh.
But anyhow, quick point about the statistics thing. The difference between baseball statistics, and here's why they're a statistic, like a math nerds get so excited.
Right.
Is because in general, to a far greater extent than like events in football, where it's like, you know, the play starts and, you know, five guards are doing this and everything depends on the interplay between everything.
Right.
Baseball events are much more discrete and quantifiable, you know.
Right. It's one guy,
One guy makes a pitch, one guy, you know, puts the pitch into play, you know, someone makes the play. You know, there are certain positioning things in it, but it's much more quantifiable and discrete.
Right.
Which is why, you know, pocket protector guys love chopping those numbers up in weird ways.
And I'm glad that they do, because some of them go on to be political analysts who make really interesting observations about politics. But here's the real crux, Dave. The crux.
Crux away.
What the hell do they do now? How do you, Dave Stern, if you were consulted by the Pittsburgh Pirates, tell them to proceed?
Well, actually, they seem to have finally gotten a GM who at least has a plan, which is good. Because you notice, I know you listen to the radio occasionally, you notice how people were like, holy shit, they're trading away anyone who's even slightly good, what's going on?
That is the rumor that I kept hearing, yes.
Because basically, here's what you do. Is basically, when you're a team that currently has no hope,
mm-hmm.
and you're not like rich such that you can just buy hope.
Right.
Which, you know, like a rich person does. Yeah, like a rich person does. Then what you have to do is pretty much take anyone who's even sort of good on your team, by the time your team might be able to compete, will be older and expensive and probably gone anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you trade them all for just mounds and piles of, like, 19 to 22, like, 21-year-old kids who might wind up being good. And then you hope, like, 6 or 7 of them get good at around the same time. So you have that cheap core of, you know, the slave players.
Right.
The slave underclass.
Then you find the mercenaries.
Basically, once you have slave superstars, that sort of cost savings where it's like, this guy is playing at a level where he could be $20 million. You know, he's a $20 million player, and we have him for, you know, $200,000 this year. Then you can start getting some mercenaries.
I see.
Then you got yourself a team.
That's very cunning. Here's what I would recommend to them, being an expert, if they were to consult me. Burn the stadium down.
No, okay.
Throw all the players into the river.
Uh-huh.
Forget the thing ever happened.
Okay, here's the problem with that, though.
Right.
Is stadium is literally, by orders of magnitude, the best thing they've got going for them. It's a great stadium. Great place to watch a game. Beautiful stadium.
Could it be used for another sport? Kickball.
Yes, it's already about set up for kickball pretty well.
I think then we should convert it into a kickball stadium.
They would just
stadium.
Have to make a dirt path from the mound to the thing, because otherwise the ball would stop in the grass.
That's fine with me. I can make that path. I can till that lawn. Regardless.
You are an expert tiller of the soil.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with them. They can all get into a boat.
You were never really there with them in the first place, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what does your being done with them change about your relationship
to them? No, it
doesn't.
I mean, it doesn't help them one way or the other, no.
Yeah.
My grandfather used to listen to baseball on the radio.
Oh, it's a fantastic radio sport.
That blows my mind. The term fantastic radio sport pretty much guarantees to me that the sport is not very interesting.
Wrong.
Gotta have visual things going on. People dancing around, you know, pulling cell phones out of the padding next to a goalpost. That has to happen. I need to see it. Regardless, you know, party on, Pittsburgh Pirates. Carry on, my wayward son. Let's see if we can hit 20.
That would be amazing. I know
you've got it in you. Don't fuck up fucking it up. And we'll be right back.
Talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella. Talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller. The scooter, the barber, and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Well, Case. And welcome back to episode 14 of I'm Trying to Think. Well, that was a great show, Dave.
I know. We alienated people who like us being funny by talking about serious sort of political protest topics. Then we alienated all of our listeners who I assume are mostly just nerds by talking baseball for 25 minutes. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and even if they aren't nerds and they
honestly,
like sports.
Honestly, we alienated you by talking about baseball for 25 minutes. Yeah,
I don't even like
what we talk.
I don't even like this show. I'm not going to listen to it.
It's beautiful.
Why start now? You know what I mean? Why start listening to A, the recordings of the show, B, what I'm even saying? I haven't done it for 14 episodes. Why start now?
Yeah, the only all reason right. I listen is because I have to edit the stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Nah, I love our show. Aww.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's sweet. Anyways, chunk test.
The chunk test is still going on. I mean, I see this. There's an interesting dynamic developing to the chunk test as I see it, which is essentially no one wants to enter it. We don't want to judge it, but we're not going to stop it.
Right. We are not give-uppers.
We're stubborn men.
We are stick-to-itters.
Yep.
So I'd like to reiterate, if you have a recipe for a drink called the Chunky Mary, which would be sort of a spinoff of the Bloody Mary, please send it to contact@imtryingtothink.com. It may be the official drink of I'm Trying to Think.
Until we will
Pepsi
drink
contacts
it. We will find out.
And then
we will probably be a little angry at
life
you.
Life will be sweet.
Unless your recipe is awesome.
Delicious, delicious high fructose corn syrup.
Do you think that could go in a Chunky Mary? Just get a little HFCS in there.
Oh. It takes a long time to make high fructose corn syrup delicious. It takes a lot of
processing.
A lot of processing, refining. A lot of chemical testing and refining, yeah.
Okay, so get some HFCS, put it in a blender. Put in some salsa.
Ugh. That sounds delicious.
I know.
Anyways, so thank you again for tuning in to episode 14. We'll be back next week with episode 15. What's stopping us?
Nothing.
We'll find something horrible to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, as always, if you have anything to say, if you want to complain about the show, if you like the show, if you want to ask a question, you can email us at contact@imtryingtothink.com. We've got some recent emails concerning the fact that apparently Dave's last name means star in German, so he is Dave Ringo Stern.
Apparently. There's that, and also we've hit a slight snag in... Basically, we're recording this in the I'm Trying to Think studios.
Yes.
We are not recording this in our new studio in Palatial Breakstick Manor.
Right.
We've hit a slight snag regarding the trademarking.
Slight snag regarding the Breakstick trademarking, namely that it costs money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really not worth it.
So, if anyone wants to send us some seed capital to get this off the ground,
the good news is
then
that we do
email
have
us at contact@imtryingtothink.com and we can hook you up with our PayPal, with our, you know, credit routing, you know, with our Western Union numbers.
Yeah. We have we already have a lawyer willing to work pro bono on our trademark case. We just would actually need to pay a lot of money to file it.
I took high school Latin, so fun fact if you did not know. Pro bono is Latin for the bone. He's willing to work for the bone.
He's working for the bone. Oh, man. That's what your mom... Oh, anyways.
Help trademark and patent the brake sticks. Oh, yeah. I'm glad this is just an audio-only podcast because no one can see me.
Your terrible pantomiming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The terrible, onerous pantomiming.
Every once in a while, I have this great idea for us to do a video podcast, and it's things like that that make me push that off another couple of weeks.
Amen.
Also, things like the fact that nobody listens, so why would we go through the effort of making video that nobody will watch?
So nobody can watch it.
Yeah. According to our experts, that will make it have an even greater impact.
It's true.
All right, well, thank you all, and we'll be back next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode of I'm Trying to Think. Dave, do you have any closing thoughts for everyone?
I don't know. I think I got it mostly out with the pro bono stuff. That was my closing thought.
Bono.
Sonny Bono.
Bono.
Lead singer of U2.
So his name was more like Sonny Boner? All right, see you next week.
Bye-bye.